Thank you, Katie. It's great to see everybody here. My name is Lawrence, if you haven't gathered that by now. I'm the Kids and Youth Coordinator, kind of just taking over before summer. So really tonight is, I'm busting to share with you what God has been kind of downloading into my heart and into the heart of our team since kind of then. You all know Stuart Douglas was the youth coordinator. I was the kids coordinator for 7 years, so I've known all these headers since they were in primary school. It's been a privilege to journey with them, but now I get to even be more part of that journey. But this is kind of a launch of a new, brand new brand, because we kind of saw that the church, we're not so good at branding. You can go around here. I don't mean the person branding if he's here. If you go around the community, you see that actually the outside world can be way better at branding, and we need to be better at selling our vision, our heart, and showing that. And actually, I think it's pretty cool. Dave has done a great job on all the branding. Where is Dave? Is he here? Give him a big cheer there. That's Dave. And what the WM stands for is a Willowfield movement. You heard the guy, Stephen Furtick. He's very enthusiastic. He says, we're not waiting on a move of God. We are a move of God. If we just sit in these four walls and wait for God to move, well, we're kind of missing a point. We're meant to be his people that he uses to go out and to change the world. So we can get any different color in the brand, but also, when I turn around, it's on the back, love and life. A wee picture that I had, a couple of pictures before I start into this. At camp, as you saw, we got to do a bit of kayaking. I was very excited. My group were first to go kayaking. We got in the wetsuits. I got my snazzy shorts on, stuff like that, and got ready. Me and two people, I'll not mention their names, we got into this three-man kayak, and I was excited. I knew that they'd probably make me do all the work, but when they pushed us out a wee bit, it started to fill with water a wee bit. And the girl pulled no punches. She was just like, guys, could you get into an individual one? Because there's too much weight on that. I was like, okay then. That's a bit harsh. And as I said, I wanted to protect their identities. So here they are with with helmets on. But you can tell it's Bobby Lee and Casey. We were just like, right. Fine then, we'll get in our individual ones. But as well, the more I thought about it, the more I thought about that picture. Because the more I've got to know people, re-engage with people, as people come in off the streets, as we go out onto the streets, we see that there's so many people carrying weights that God has never meant for them to carry. They're carrying burdens that they're not meant to, that God, it wasn't their will to carry those weights. And God really wants to release you from those burdens tonight because he is a good God. It is not his will for you to carry this. It is not his will for you to feel like you want to give up. He is here and he's calling you home tonight. That beautiful picture of the Father who runs to us. Here's the verse that kind of goes with that as well. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Because actually, maybe as we were shifted in to that individual one, that's the kind of way you feel tonight. You feel alone. And these verses remind us that we're not alone, that God is with us. I wasn't going to share this picture tonight because I shared it this morning and some of the thoughts I will share with you. But I had this picture during New Wine as well, that for generations, for years, the church has kind of been like, you know, a generation will strengthen their shoulders and they'll say, you wait until it's your turn. You see how strong I am and then you can take over when it's your go. And I feel that God showed me a picture of a tide that was rising, that is culture, that wants to take all the generations from the church. The enemy wants to steal, kill and destroy what God is doing. And it is our responsibility to strengthen our shoulders, not to show people how strong we are, but so the next generations can stand on our shoulders and the generations after that can stand on their shoulders. And through summer, we saw a picture of that. It was a picture of church the way it should be. It was family. And I absolutely loved spending all my summer with these kids and these young people and these leaders. It was a privilege. When I was off, I was kind of like, I don't know what to do now, so I think I'll go hang with them anyway. You know, it was that's what God was doing, because he was starting something special, starting something new. He wanted us to start a movement that we know that we can face anything that this world throws at us together. And here is one of the hills that we climbed at New Wine. I think it was, I don't know if it was a hill or a mountain. Cave Hill is a hill though, Natalie. It's called Cave Hill, not Cave Mountain. But we did this as family, because when we went up mountains, and I know people probably hated me at the time, some people wrote it on their evaluation, didn't really like doing Kulka, and I was like, oh well, but you got to the top. But we did it as family. The young people were pushing the kids. They were holding their bags for them. When we went up Slieve Donard, the kids were helping Charlene because she had vertigo, and it was just that we were going through it together. We could face everything together because we were moving forward as family. We aren't waiting on a move of God. We are a move of God. And one of the things that we've felt God impressing on us is this theme for the year, that we would learn God's truth and then we would dare to live it out. Truth in dare. And September, it's really simple. It's a chance just to give all our lives afresh to God and say, I'm in. I am all in, God. And it's Jesus died for you. That is the truth. And would you dare to live for him? Would you dare to live your life for him? One of the ways that we're doing that is we've thought of this thing called OMT, which is 1 minute testimony. And we want everybody to be able to learn their story in a minute. So that if someone asks you, here, well, tell us about Jesus. What has he done in your life? Well, you can do it in a minute. But also, we want to put stuff on social media that doesn't depress everybody. Because if you think about it, so many things, well, it's depressing. There's so much stuff on there that after you've looked on it for a while, you just come away, you know, just with a weight on you. And you're just like, oh, this is rubbish. So let's change the sound. Change the sound that people are hearing. So I thought, I'm going to give this a go. I did it earlier, and it was okay. But I'm going to put a minute up, and I'm going to tell you my story so that you get to know a wee bit about me. So where's my water? It's down here. I forgot to bring it up. Here we go. So, my OMT. So, I was born into a good family. My parents were happily married until I got to about 6 when my parents divorced. Me and my brother lived with my mom, and life was okay until I got to Grosvenor. I somehow got into Grosvenor. What? And life changed because my mom developed bipolar, which is manic depression, and that meant she was in and out of Purdiesburn. People would always make fun of that, but that was reality for me. And I struggled with belonging. I struggled with feelings of not feeling loved or valued because as part of that, my mom tried to commit suicide a few times, and I found her. She would have brought drug dealers and people into the house, and I really struggled with that. So I tried to find belonging in all the wrong places until I walked into a church just before I turned 18, and I found Jesus, and he has changed my life. He has turned a shy, insecure lad into someone who is still those things, but he is confident in God, and now he has equipped me, he's called me to do this kind of thing for a living, and I have no idea why, but I'm just going to go with it. There we go. So, this is something that everybody can be part of because everybody has a story to tell. No matter if you were born in a Christian home or not, I wasn't. Since then, my mom has become a Christian. My auntie, my cousins have become Christians. One of my cousins is on vigils tonight, Jack. Good man. He's one of my family's become Christians. And it's just because God is so good, and he wants to change our lives, and he wants to use us. We want to start a Willowfield movement. God has flipped my life upside down, kind of like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. When I was thinking about God and what he wanted to do, I thought about this. It was like, this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'm going to stop rapping there. But there is a point to it. So the F stands for the Father's heart. If we're going to be part of a movement, if we're going to nurture this next generation, well, we need to understand the Father's heart for us. How the Father is a good, good Father with good gifts, and he has good plans for all of us, not just people who stand up on stage, not just people who play instruments, for all of us. His heart is good for all of us. And if we want to see communities change, it must start with people discovering who they truly are in Christ and learning how to represent this new life in broken communities. We need to understand God's heart for us before we can display that to other people. Romans 5:8 displays God's heart for us. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He didn't try and bribe us and say, well, if you act this way, I'll send my son. It was while we were still sinners. He loved us and he showed it. He didn't just say it. And I love this. I found this last night, and I'll probably say it quite a lot, so I hope you don't get too sick of it. But see the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see. And that's kind of a picture of asking God for his heart for other people. Because it's so easy for us to look at other people and just label them by their faults, because that's what we do when we look at ourselves in the mirror. But God loves us and he thinks we are his masterpieces. So understanding the Father's heart, then understanding his love for us. And I don't mean conditional love that you just kind of switch off when you don't get your way. I'm talking about agape love. There's four loves that are mentioned in the Bible, four types of love. And agape love is the highest love. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. And this is the love that God loves us with and that he wants us to love other people with. And when you love with agape love, there is no ifs or buts. There is no ifs or buts. So it's not that we love you if, because then you're putting a condition on it. Or we love you, but you better change this before you get the full love. It's saying we love you. And that's challenge, and that's why we've got to rely on God's love. Or you belong at Willowfield if. Actually, we need to be start saying, well, you belong. We just want you as part of our family, or you belong, but not happy. You know, but we need to say you belong, no ifs or buts. Because the gospel doesn't exist so people can join church and just become like us. It exists so they can join and become like Jesus. The church is his, it's not ours. So let's stop thinking that we're God's gift to the church and realize that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. And this is something that's been really challenging me as I've been reading a book. I'm not the best. I really need to be intentional about reading books. And I read one in a week there and I was all chuffed. And then I remember that Charlene read the Bible in how long? 2 weeks. So I'm still got a bit of catching up to do. But Alan Platt in his book City Changer says, do you have concern or compassion for your community? Because there's a difference. And it's showed in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. They were looking at their watches. They were like, well, I know they're hungry, but could they not go somewhere else? They said, send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That was the difference between concern and compassion. They were concerned, but not engaged. Concern does not take responsibility, but compassion does. Concern sends people away and hopes that someone else will address the problem. You're just like, oh, I'll pray for you. Hope you get that sorted. But compassion rolls up its sleeves and it gets involved. It gets into the mess. Compassion starts making a difference. And then I saw this last night, really late, and copied and pasted it from Twitter. But Bob Goff says, when I say I don't have time, what I really lack is compassion. People own watches, love owns time. How many times have we just said, sorry, I can't help you, I don't have time. And maybe if we had really tried, we could have. It's because, yes, we were maybe concerned, but we didn't have compassion. So understanding the Father's heart, love, the next one, next two are very quick, and being intentional, that we're meant to be agents of change, not chance. We don't just open the Bible when it suits us and go, oh, there's a verse, that will do. We're leaving it to chance. We're meant to be agents of change who are consistent in our walk with God and read our Bible as much as we can every day so that when things get hard, We don't need to just guess and put our finger anywhere in the Bible. We know the truth because we have the knowledge. So Father's heart, love, intentional, and then last one, before we get into some battles, is potential. Everybody here, all our kids and young people, even though some of them are struggling to listen to me now, and that's okay, they're all filled with potential. You are filled with potential. When the angel of the Lord appeared to a guy called Gideon in Judges, he was hiding in a wine press because he was scared, because he was threshing wheat in a wine press. It wasn't a wheat press, it was a wine press, so he shouldn't have been there, but he was hiding. And the angel said to him, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And Gideon probably thought, "Mighty what? I'm hiding. I'm a chicken. Yeah, I'm hiding from everybody because I'm scared." But the angel was calling out his potential. And as a church, we've got to call out people's potential. As a generation, we've got to call out the next generation's potential, not just point the finger and say, "Well, you're not really reaching the mark." Because we've got to let them stand on our shoulders. Ephesians 3 shows the potential with God. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The last wee thing about flip is, if someone says to me, "I can do a backflip," well, I'm the kind of person who would say, "Well, show me then, or prove it. Go for it. As long as you don't break your neck, because then I'll feel a wee bit guilty." But God, if we believe that he has promised us this community and this city, well, we're going to hold him to it. If he says he can do it, I want to say, "Well, okay, God, I'll do my bit, but I'm going to hold you to yours." Like Jacob wrestled with God until he blessed him, I'm going to wrestle with God as well. Until he does what he has promised, he will do. Let's start a Will of Feel movement. How does that look? Well, we've got so many programs and we have a sign-up sheet that we'd love you to join us. There's so many programs pretty much every day. Last night, we started the youth worship rooms, which was incredible, just to gather to worship. Sarah led us with the band, and I didn't want to go home. It was just a real atmosphere where you just didn't want it to end. But it did need to, because we needed to go out and we needed to tell people about it. But there was something so special about gathering with people just to worship God and just sit at his feet. We're starting a leaders in training program called LIT, and I'm really excited about that. We had 13 guys involved in active youth on Friday. Through the doors over at the halls on Friday night, there was 140 kids and 70 young people. And God has started this. We need to get involved and get involved in what he's doing. It's exciting. And also as well, it's not just kids and young people. We're starting a young adults worship cafe once a month on a Saturday night called LEAD. And what that stands for is leadership, evangelism, and discipleship, because we want to be intentional about moving in all of those things. And that's going to be a space where you can come as a leader and go deeper yourself. So just really to wrap up, I want to chat about some battles that we will face, because it's not going to be easy. It's not just going to be like, "Oh, let's, you know, just skip the doodah into God's plan." It's not like that. It's not easy. We're going to have battles. And it was one of the songs that we sang at camp about how our God fights our battles. So really quickly, the first one is a bit random, because I'm a bit random. It's the battle between the lift and the stairs. A few weeks ago when I was off, I went to London. And there's one tube station where there's no escalators, where you can't just stand on the escalator and go up. You have to decide between the lift or the stairs. And I'm one of those balloon heads who just thinks, "I'm going to go for the stairs." And it says there's 193 steps to climb, equal to a 15-story building. Those with luggage, pushchairs, or heart conditions, please use the lift. Well, I thought, I'll go for this. But really, when you get to the top, it's worth it. It's worth it to see how beautiful it is. But a lot of people think that actually when you become a Christian, it's like a lift to heaven. You just jump in it and you just go. It's just like, yeah. And you stop every now and then to let other people on. And it's definitely not. It does take you to climb. It's going to be hard. There's going to be mountains involved. But what we're saying is we do it together. During the summer, we did the Stairway to Heaven, not once, but twice. Some people actually volunteered to come with me when I was off as well. Crazy people. But we got to the top as a family. We pushed each other. Ethan Rush got to the top and then was like, I'm going down to get Haggy. And he brought everybody else up. And it was class. It was really good that people were just helping each other up. Did everybody make it? No, but next time they could, because we have that goal. We're pressing towards that goal. And it's not all uphill being a Christian, because God does give rest to his loved ones. This is Natalie when she fell asleep on the beach at Sligo, face down. We didn't even know if she was alive or not. So instead of checking for a pulse, we got a picture. It's not all battle. There is joy. There is times of peace. God is with us, and he is a good God with good gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, it does tire you out sometimes, but you can have a wee sleep on the beach. The next one, comfort versus progress. Really quickly, our true north is to be comfortable, but that stops us reaching progress. If you saw Greatest Showman, which is our theme for camp, P.T. Barnum says, comfort is the enemy of progress. It's our need for comfort that stops us going forward, because we want to stay in a comfort zone. But Craig Rochelle says, you can have comfort or you can have growth, but you can't have both. So we need to choose that we're going to aim for progress over comfort. Because what is progress in the Christian walk? Well, it's maturity. And maturity doesn't come with age, because I know a lot of, you know, older Christians who are still immature. It comes with acceptance of responsibility. Maturity doesn't come with age. It comes with acceptance of responsibility. And this is why we want to invest in an intentional way in our leaders, because we can see that they want the responsibility. And we're like, right, go for it. Let's go. Next one, really quickly, another random one. A chameleon versus a peacock. Because you can see that chameleons are beautiful, but as a defense mechanism, you know, to defend themselves, they just blend in with their surroundings. And I meet so many people, not just kids and young people, who go into a group of friends and they just become like them, because they don't want them to not like them. They don't want to be raked, so they just become like them. And it's not them, so it eats them up inside. They're like, why am I getting on like this? But they're just trying to blend in, when actually they were born to stand out. They were born to be peacocks who are just proud of who they are. They just let the feathers out and they're like, this is me. Whoa. Maybe without that bit. But it's like, I'm proud of who God has created me to be, and I'm going to have integrity and be the same me wherever I am. Because it says, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Which kind of feeds into the next one. This is the last two. Faith versus fear. Because when we were down at camp, everybody was growing in their faith because we were in that environment. When you come back to reality, the fear starts to take control. And the more you feed your fear, the more it starts to win. There's always this battle going on between our faith versus our fear. And which one wins? Well, it's the one that you feed more, because it becomes stronger. Matthew 14:29-30, Peter walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus and he kept his eyes on the storm. And he fell, because he fed his fear more than he fed his faith. Let fear win the battle. Let's feed our faith as much as we can. Get around people who build you up and encourage you, not just ones who drain you. And come to as much as you can where God is moving. Come to things where you can just encounter his Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Last one then, and this is so important as well, is connection versus perfection. God's number one goal with us is connection, even though he's perfect. Nothing, neither pain nor death, will prevent him from moving towards us and responding to us with love. I love this from Paul Washer. I have given Christ countless reasons not to love me. None of them have changed his mind. But even with that in mind, sometimes we set unhealthy expectations in our relationships and we push people away because we expect everybody to be perfect and meet our standards. And when they don't, instead of connection being our goal, distance is our goal. Yet, we have a God who, even though we get it wrong, pursues us and wants connection with us, who sent his son to die for us. So how can we be hypocrites and judge other people, push other people away when God doesn't push us away, when his goal for us is connection? And the way I love to describe this is the picture of emperor penguins who survive the harshest environment on earth together. Does that mean they don't look at the penguin beside them and think they smell, or you don't like them because they're trying to steal their bird? Do you know what I mean? No, because they know that they have to stick together to survive. They have to huddle together. And even the kids, will they stick together? And us older generations, we need to show kids and young people the love of God. We've got to live it out, because our love for each other will prove to the world that we are his disciples. Because you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand. You don't have to agree on every bit of theology or everything. Because if your goal is connection, well then, that's way more important than having the perfect relationship, the perfect family, the perfect church, because we've already got the perfect God, and that is enough. Jesus died for you, dare to live for him. Let's all stand together. I'm going to invite the band to come.